when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio supporters and all you precious Blood River Radio family out there. And also, a welcome in any new listeners that might be coming into Blood River Radio. That's right, you are listening to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. We are proudly, I mean proudly syndicated nationwide, all over creation by Liberty News Radio. And with Sam Bushman and Jay and Miss Teenage America and Mr. Jeremiah, the youngest probably the youngest of our team members who's stepping up and running the board today. He's done it before. He's an excellent job. We're very proud to be working with the young Jeremiah. What an upstanding young man he is. Also, listen, what else I got right here? Let me see. Today is, just in case you'd like to know the day, I got my outline out of place, but that doesn't matter. I am an outline, a walking outline. I try to cram too much in too short a time. Today, just in case you'd like to know the date, is October the 11th. In the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Almighty God, there is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ, Almighty. Never get that confused. Never make a mistake. I've said this once. I've said it 100 times. You don't need a church. You don't need a temple. I don't care what it is. Pick your religion. Pick Mormonism, Catholicism. What's the other one? The other one opposite is Catholic. I've been to one of those churches. They're okay. Orthodox. You don't need that crap. All you need is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ Almighty. In fact, I'll say it again. I've come to the conclusion that most of the churches I know of that I'm seeing in here and around the United States, I think they are a hindrance to you. And we have a story about that just this very night. Anyway, I got to shut the hell up. You know, this is a Christian radio show. And we have a stalwart Christian owned tonight helping Ramrod Blood River Radio. So we don't do anything without having to say a prayer. So we'll do that. So we will. If you would, Brother Will, if you will, take us to the Lord in prayer, son.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom to gather here this evening in your name. And Lord, as we prepare to discuss the chaos and the craziness that's going on in this world, we thank you for being the steadfast God of order. We know you have a perfect finished plan for our people, which is your people. Lord, bless our listeners and our people. We pray for healing for those who are sick and down. Lord, we rejoice for those who have been healed. Lord, bless this radio program and Brother Eddie Miller and the work that you have given us to do. We pray, Lord, for the safety of our people in this country and our kindred around the world. We know our people face persecution, and we ask for your hands to protect us and shield us. Our people all around this world, and we ask for our enemies to be brought to bear and to face your almighty judgment for their actions, Lord God, and that's the work against our people. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you much, my younger brother in arms. Thank you so much, Brother Will. Just a quick outline here, folks. First of all, the donors, we have Sasquatch. Sasquatch down in the swamps. I meant to call him today. I didn't get to it. There's always so much to do. But anyway, Sasquatch down in the swamps of Florida and his lovely bride sent us a nice donation. Also sent me a precious coin, 1942 Germany, with one of my favorite symbol on there, the swastika, and my second favorite symbol probably is a KKK. But I think I'm going to have a ring or a necklace made out of that. I hope the Sasquatch isn't mine. I'll wear it around my neck or put it on my finger because it has that Sasquatch stick on it. But anyway, thank you so much for that great donation. Without people like Sasquatch, we would be no Blood River Radio. Another quick notice here before we go. We got one of my favorite people in the world, Will Franklin. He's coming in on first hour with me, helping ramrod this broadcast. And then the second hour is going to be Don Wassel and Paul Fromm, two stalwarts. They've been in the business about almost as long as I have. And then third hour is none other than Eugene Andrews. Man, what a smart guy he is. He'll be on tonight doing our Confederate history. So that's it for the outline. I can't think of any other news items. So I'm going to start off with just a quick story here. This happened to me. I'll tell you about getting yourself out of these churches. I went over, there's one of the largest churches in the Mid-South. It's listed as a mega church. I'm not going to slam them all the way tonight because I got to make one more trip over there. Here's the story, folks. This is your Christian churches. I've been chasing this guy. I'll name him. I can't call his name. His name is, what's his name? Franklin. I'm going
Taylor.
Blank here. Taylor. There you go. Ben Taylor. There you go. What do you got? That's that young brain. Ben Taylor. Ben Taylor. He is the missions preacher over at Bellevue Baptist. They have a whole army of preachers at Bellevue Baptist here in Memphis. It's a gigantic church. It's listed in the internet as a mega church. It is a mega church. Well, you know my history over there, almost getting jumped and body slammed over there several years ago when I was just 70 then, a young man. So I went over there the other day. I've been chasing this Ben Taylor, people, since about March. I've been trying to get him. I said, look, I have two sailors. Actually, I have three. And they would come down here to Memphis on their own dime, and they would like to come speak to your congregation. Bellevue Baptist is a gigantic congregation. Well, I went over to the church, asked the secretary. I was lucky. I caught him there. I caught him in his office. He came out to talk to me. It didn't take it long to go downhill. I got to make this quick. I told him, hey, what's been the holdup? Why you been dodging me? Oh, I hadn't been dodging you. I've been busy. But I said, you mean you've been so busy you couldn't come in here maybe one time since March, since April? But anyway, I said, where are we going to get the sailors on? Oh, well, he hauled around. He hauled, made this excuse, that excuse. We have a new ministry. He just had four weeks to settle down. I said, you know what? Back in the NOM, it took 4 hours, 4 minutes to get settled down. You couldn't have all these in the streets of Memphis. But anyway, what is the holdup? And then he got really pissed at me. And he said, well, let me just cut to the chase. Well, I'll just give you the definitive answer right now. There's no way those sailors are going to come out here. He said, because it's too political. I don't like your attitude. You get this, hate. He said, you have a hateful countenance. I said, don't forget homophobe, anti-Semite, xenophobe. Don't forget all that. And then I told him, this is a true story. I'm trying to give in everything I can. I said, your problem is, fella, is that you are a coward, and it's mentioned all through Testament. It's for fear of the Jew. You know, and I know, if you and your ministers, the head honcho, comes on here and starts preaching the true story, the truth about the Jews, in a little sandbox called Israel over in the Mideast, most of your congregation would leave, and the Jewish people here in Memphis would make life hell. Anyway, I won't finish the rest of that story. But that's the way the churches are. I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to try to get an audience with a head honcho preacher over there. I'm going to go to him. I think I got one chance out of 500 to getting sailors in there. But after, if they don't do it, then the ropes are off. I told them I will be boycotting that, not boycotting, but picketing that church. How well I can do with just one man, I don't know. But I have another young fellow, Ben Walker. He's going to help when he can. But anyway, that's that story right there. Ben, I'm going to cover one more right quick like. Because we got time, and I know I'm going to step on the toes here because so many people love and they worship this Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, folks, became not a millionaire but a multi-millionaire on Jew money. And when he saw the political winds coming, they're going against his precious Israel, he decided, well, maybe he better come out and start saying some of the things, although a lot softer than we say it here in Blood River Radio, or he'd lose some of his supporters. Oh, all of a sudden, all these people are going crazy. Oh, so wonderful. He came out and he's telling the truth now. Well, he's already a multimillionaire, people. And guess what? Now I'm going to shut the hell up. I got some more things to cover, but I'm going to go back to Will. The person, his best friend, doing the researching on the internet, his best friend is this Jew. He's a Jew, Andrew Klovit. He's the chief spokesman now, from what I understand, from Turning Point USA. It looks like he might even take over the whole damn thing. So those are two things we need to chew on, people. I'll tell you, get the hell out of these damn satanic Satan worship churches. I'm going to say one more about Bellevue Baptist. I don't want to talk fast, but time is money. Our time is expensive. I have never seen a more virulent, venomous, satanic-like hatred than I saw out of this minister. And also, before he had to leave, we had to go be introduced to the goon squad. I had to let my face be seen by the goon squad over there, their security guards, in case I come back to cause trouble, to kick some ass, you know, my little 78-year-old guys. If I come over there to picket their church, I had to be seen. That's supposed to intimidate me. It intimidate me worth a shit. In fact, I turned around on the sorry bastards. Anyway, we used up a whole segment talking about that. When we come back, we're going to go to Will, and Will is going to take it and run with it, brother. Be right back, folks. Go get you some water, or better yet, get you some tiger piss. Be right back, folks.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
The Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question: do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I hope I'm not talking too fast, but I can say, I know I talk fast for a Southerner, but there's a lot to cover. I'm going to say one more thing about Bellevue Baptist Church. I told those people over there, and this is a true story, my grandfather on my dad's side is born in 1884 in Bloody Breathitt County, Kentucky. The name Bloody Breathitt County could give you a little clue of what kind of county that was. They didn't take any crap from anybody. They didn't take any cuss. Anyway, I told these people, my grandfather was a Baptist minister. He helped his father build a church on top of Flint Mountain. They built the church by hand out of flint rock and granite. It was a beautiful church. Their own hewn out hardwood benches, and they never took a dime to preach. But I tell him, I said, I used to be very proud of that, but now I'm ashamed of the Baptist religion. I wouldn't be called a Baptist for loving their money. My grandfather on my mother's side, born 1887, slightly younger than my paternal grandfather, but he was big time Baptist, but they wouldn't be today. So I told him I was very ashamed, and I told him, if you don't straighten out, if you don't stop worshiping your precious Israel and stop worshiping these stinking Jews, you are going straight to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. We'll take over that if you don't mind, brother.
Yeah, no problem. I wasn't, of course, Eddie, where you were at there, I had to look up this Bellevue Baptist. First off, I didn't know it was associated with the late Pastor Adrian Rogers. who was a pastor there at one time, and I can only imagine. I was looking it up. I can't believe it's a 377-acre campus church.
Yes, huge.
That is huge. And what I've been trying to do while you were talking, Eddie, is track back just how they got the money when they relocated from Memphis to Cordova, try and figure out how they got so doggone rich so doggone quick. But I'm gobsmacked, I guess, looking at the size of this and the fact that they got multimedia theaters. I mean, this is it's an operation. That's a business, Eddie. That's not a church. That's a doggone multi-million-dollar business is what they got going on there.
Well, you know what, Will? When I came up into the parking lot, this is no joke. Guess what was sitting in the front of the main door? They had several doors, of course, many of them. There was a Brinks armored car carrier hauling off money.
Oh, you
and
kidding.
That's one of the. I swear to God. And then I told this little tin horn preacher is supposed to be the ones who are responsible for the mission trips. I said, hey, I need to become I'm in the wrong damn business. I need to become a preacher too. That way they can haul my paycheck off in an armored car. And but that's true. I'm not going to slam, believe it or not, I'm not slamming Bellevue Baptist as hard as we're going to. If they don't allow the sailors to come in there, and I told them flat out, they said, why is it even important to you? And you said you were Navy, but you still loved them, even though you were Army. I said, because they were my brothers. They're supposed to
That's
be
right.
fighting for this country. Bellevue Baptist Church, you're always purporting how you love the veterans, and you give us a free cup of coffee every November just to show how much you love the veterans. And I wouldn't take a damn cup of coffee if you love for the money. But these people going to fight for this country, and you love the veterans so much, and you'll do anything for them but it stops short. But you will not. You don't care. You don't give a damn that these sailors and Marines were blown to smithereens. People like Pastor Ron Kukol, who was in charge of the rescue mission aboard the USS Liberty, they had to go down and get an arm here, a leg there, a testicle here, a leg there, and a foot here, and put all those body parts in bags and come up to from the guts of that ship that had been torpedoed by the Israelis and the Jews, which was a conspiracy theory, of course. And I said, you sweep that all under the rug because for fear of the Jew, because you actually, the stinking preacher actually told me that, oh, we got to worship Israel, we got to pray for Israel because that's where the Savior come from. So the Savior's already come here. And here's what Jesus Christ said about your stinking Jews. Jesus Christ, yep. Look at the Jews in themselves, and he told them, you are your father, the devil, and you'll do what you, everybody knows that scripture. The devil came to hate, to steal, to kill, to rob. He's a chief liar. That's the man. No. He was talking about the scribes and the Sadducees. I said, the scribes and the Sadducees were Jews, you dumbass. They were Jews. They're still Jews. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to shut up. I'm taking too much of this airtime. Well, go ahead, bro. I'm going back over you, brother.
No, you're fine, Eddie. You're fine. I did just for a second. I know you want to talk about the Indians and the VA, and I'm going to lead into that with this story. This past week, I traveled up to the northern part of our country, and I'm going to tell you, I actually had a great time. I was around 3,000 or 4,000 of our people. It was a great time, good family atmosphere, and I got to visit a little bit with some folks out of Canada. They were a company out of Canada that was a heavy equipment company, and I was talking to them about shipping equipment south of into the United States, and they told me, Eddie, that they said they ended up forming their own logistics wing of their company. They're based out of Ontario, and they said the reason why they went ahead and bought their own trucks and their own trailers is because the Canadian government, especially in Toronto, the capital of Ontario, had subsidized the truck drivers to the point of where you could not find a truck driver who spoke English. And they went on to tell me that it was nothing but Indians and Pakistanis and Sikhs that were the truck drivers. And they told me that the way that this was working is that the Canadian government had allowed these Indians in. They were subsidizing the purchase of trucks and trailers so that they could become owner operators of long haul truckers. They were subsidizing their fuel costs so that the Canadian government was paying for the diesel fuel for these trucks.
My God.
And Yeah, so they are essentially, the Canadian government was putting the natural born native Canadian truck driver out of business. And what was told to me was that they personally knew truck drivers who went out of business because these Indians were coming in and doing it for a quarter of the price of what the other truck drivers were charging, because the Canadian government was paying for the other 75%. And if you remember a couple of years ago, up there in Canada, there was the big trucker protest.
Yes,
it was during COVID. And this gentleman who operates a large business, a large heavy equipment business, told me, he said, y'all were lied to down in America. He said it had nothing to do with the COVID lockdown. It had everything to do with the truckers were protesting what the Ottawa government, the Canadian government, was doing, bringing in these foreign truck drivers to take the jobs. And he told me, he said that y'all were, he said the Americans were completely lied to. And he said now he has personally watched one business after the other have to close their doors that were the white native Canadian truck drivers. And he said they refused to do business with these Indians or these Pakistanis. So they actually started their own wing of, they went out and bought their own tractors and their own trailers so they could deliver their own products because they refused to do business. And Eddie, I know you and I talked offline and we were talking about the Indians controlling the medical establishment in this country. Well, guess what, Eddie, up in Canada, they're now taking over the trucking industry. To me, it is the ongoing warfare. This morning on our program that I'm on Saturday morning, we were talking about, and I made the analogy of, you know, the ruling government during the American Revolution was the British government, and they brought in Hessian mercenaries and paid them to cut off the roads to interfere with the supply lines of the rebels. And as I see it, this is nothing more than that, because it, what I learned about warfare earlier in my life is if you can cut off the logistics and can control the logistics, you can control the indigenous population and the fighters and the war fighters.
Yes.
And what I see is up in Canada is the Canadian government has set it up that, according to at least this gentleman that I was talking to, that the overwhelming majority of long-haul truckers and the guys that are responsible for the logistics on the Canadian interstates and Canadian highways are foreign nationals that have been subsidized by the sitting Canadian government. And I'm going to call it what it is, Eddie. They're just mercenaries. They have been brought into the country to do war with the local Canadian white population, and that is economic warfare. They have put them out of business. And that is just one more incident as far as I'm concerned. And I know you may be talking to Paul Fromm soon. I'd be interested to hear what he has to say, because to me, that's just one more weapon that has been waged against our people, and that's the economic destruction of our people. And I wanted to get that out, Eddie.
I'm glad you did. That is dynamite. I had no idea it was that bad. That is beyond treason. That is a direct dagger in the heart of white Canadians. It's a direct dagger in the heart of the white medical establishment here in the United States. Let me tell you how it is at the VA. And I tell these people, I can't name even a name. I'm ashamed. I have an ancestor who rode with the Confederate Cavalry in Western Kentucky. I know where he's buried. I have a great uncle who was gassed in World War One. My dad fought in the Pacific in World War Two. I have another uncle who died. He was fought in the Korean War. I have another uncle who came home in the Korean War, who was the first husband of one of my favorite aunts. As a matter of fact, she kept me. I came from a split bus at home. Everybody knows I was drafted to the Vietnam War. Everybody knows most of my history there. And I told these people, I'm so damn glad that white people had multiple generations went back and did blood, killed, minds destroyed, unending sacrifice to come back home and see us taken over by a bunch of snake charming Indians. The Indians completely have taken over. Called you out to VA Hospital in Memphis. It's that way everywhere you go. We'll come back. We'll talk about Dearborn, Michigan and Minneapolis, St. Paul. Be right back, folks.
liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. Israel and Hamas have agreed to pause fighting in Gaza to release the remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners, adopting parts of a peace plan backed by President Trump. Heritage Foundation military analyst Brent Sadler believes that staged protests against Israel are more of a distraction than a true reflection of the situation.
Despite what you see in the streets of London, Paris, and Chicago and New York, for pro-Hamas kind of agitators, the real winds of change are moving in the direction of peace in a more liberal and free societies, and I mean in the democratic sense of that. And I think that's good for Americans, and it's certainly good for the hostage families.
Eric Trump, executive vice president of the Trump Organization, says his father's enemies have tried seemingly everything to stop him.
They wanted to arrest us. They wanted to bankrupt us. They wanted to take us down. They were stripping us off of the ballots of states in this country, using justices to subvert the will of the American people. That was their plan. And when all of that failed, they tried to kill my father and butler. We all watched it on TV. I had my kids on my lap when. And then a month later or 2 months later, they tried to kill him again in Palm Beach, Florida.
President Trump has received a clean bill of health, with doctors confirming that he's in good physical condition.
President Trump is in exceptional health, according to his physician who evaluated him Friday. The president underwent a checkup at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. The visit included lab tests, preventive health assessments, a flu shot, and a COVID-19 booster. Navy Captain Sean Barbella, the president's doctor, says the evaluation was part of his ongoing health maintenance plan. The assessment helps prepare the president for upcoming overseas trips to the Middle East and Asia. Ron Taylor reporting.
Actress Diane Keaton has died in California. Keaton was 79 years old. More on these stories at townhall.com.
You know, life moves fast. Staying sharp, focused, and clear-headed isn't always easy. That's why the same company that brings us Relief Factor has developed something brand new, Think Factor. Think Factor is made to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that unlock mental clarity and precision, nurture your memory, and boost your attention. With Think Factor, brain power and performance finally meet for lasting daily results. Supercharge your memory and mental sharpness. Your brain is your most valuable asset, powering your creativity, focus, and daily performance. If you're feeling mentally foggy or not recalling things as quickly as you used to, Think Factor could be just what you need to reclaim your cognitive edge. I am so thrilled with the results I personally have received from Think Factor. I'm thinking clearer and better than ever. If you've ever thought, I wish I could be more clear, more focused, try Think Factor today. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com to learn more and order Think Factor. Think Factor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Dear beloved River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. I've said this 100 times, it is still true. I wish you could listen to what we talk about during the breaks. And I forget half of it. We try to cover so much. But Will was just telling me, I was trying to think of this word, turbine. I went out here at the VA hospital, cardiology in a VA hospital, and I just told about how many, take my bloodline, multiply that by millions of people that have paid the price. Some of the people never came home from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. And you know what? If you've ever been in combat, you never really come all the way home. Some of you, you're never the damn same if you've been through a hard enough stuff. I can tell, I've never said this about Gene. I don't think he'd mind me saying about it, but I can tell Gene's been in combat. I can tell he suffered. It'd take you 5 minutes to talk to someone like that. But anyway, back to this. I'm talking to this snake charmer cardiologist at VA. I'll probably get kicked out of the VA for saying this, but so be it. And as I'm leaving, I'm going down the hall. I see this guy with this damn beehive around his head. And Will let me know. I forgot the term. It's called a turban. And he just told me that these turbans, these Sikhs, wear the turbans. They're the warrior class. But people, the point is, when they're taking over a VA hospital, that is rubbing, excuse my French, but that's rubbing dog shit in your face. That's just saying, well, not only are we conquering you, we're conquering your veterans. This is how much we think of your veterans. We're going to send you to these damn snake-charming doctors. Just fast forwarding, listen, if you go to Dearborn, Michigan, it's even worse than it here in America. They have that Sharia law established in Dearborn, Michigan. They blare their horns to come to prayer 5 times a day, starting at 5:30 the damn morning. And if you're white and you complain about it, screw you. And I'm gonna go before I go to Will on that subject. I'm gonna mention this. They have this faggoty little white SOB, white traitor, chief of police up there in Dearborn, and he's up there bragging about, when I first started in the police force, we only had about 2-3% of Islamic people. Now I have 50%, and I'm the sheriff, and I'm so glad that I'm everybody's sheriff. I'm the Sikhs, the Muslims, I'm the Mexicans. I'm the sheriff overall. Well, I got news for you, Hoss. In the next election, you better enjoy, because your ass ain't going to be the sheriff no more. You're going to have one of these damn turban-wearing Sikhs or one of these damn Muslims. It's probably a Muslim that's going to come in there and behead your ass if you give him any trouble about being kicked out of office. But that's what's coming. The stupid SOB can't see that, Will. What do you think about that, brother?
Places like Dearborn up there, well, let me say this. It's a captured city. That city has fallen, and it's fallen into the hands of the enemies, and it's been done without a shot being fired. And I feel sorry in a manner of speaking for those people in the surrounding communities, because they certainly aren't deserving of this. But what I will say is somebody, Eddie, sat on their hands and did nothing and allowed this to happen. So I have a real hard time saying I feel real sorry for him, because it's not like this happened. It's not like they went to bed one night and woke up and, like you said, they were blaring the calls for prayer. This came in small little increments, and nobody did anything. They stood by and allowed it to happen, or they ran away from it. And when I say they, Eddie, I mean our people. I mean the white Michigan, those Michigan crews out there. Don't forget now, Eddie, Henry Ford, who I think is one of the greatest white men that America ever produced. Henry Ford was huge in Dearborn, Michigan. That was a Ford town. And this is the same Henry Ford that called a spade and told the truth about the Jews and about the international bankers. This is a community that this is what we've come to in Dearborn, Michigan. We're a couple of generations away from Henry Ford and being at the zenith of the American middle class. And we went from places like Dearborn, Michigan, being one of the greatest places to live in the United States. Everybody had a job, good union-paying jobs, middle-class families, educated children. the American dream, Eddie, and it's turned into a nightmare in just a generation. And you know why it did? It's because our people, fat and sassy and happy, sat on our hands and did nothing. We watched it go literally from light to day, from white to dark, and watched one of our better cities, one of our better communities in this country, be captured by the enemy without a shot being fired. If that's not apathy and just pathetic, I don't know what is, Eddie. And this is just a trial run. Dearborn's just a trial run, Eddie. This is happening all across this country. And it may not be with raghead Muslims doing the calls for prayer for Islam. It may be, I don't know, Eddie, it may be Koreans. It may be the Chinese. It may be El Salvador or Colombia, or you pick your stripe of the invaders that have come into this country. But the plan that happened in Dearborn, Michigan, is the plan for the rest of our communities.
You know, you're on fire, baby. And you know who it'll be, Conquerings? It'll be whoever the hell wants to, because you absolutely nailed it. And that's why I'm always castigating our people, because they're so, for God forbid, don't speak the word violence. Speaking the word violence, if you say you want to get in the street and you actually want to do something, if you want to get in the street in Dearborn, Michigan, and you will put a 30-06 or 308 or 300 Winchester mag ran through that damn blaring full horn, oh my God, no, that's worse than blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're absolutely right. You know, we do have a bunch of spiritually fat, spiritually lazy, physically lazy people that will not lift a finger to do anything. And I point to do anything to reverse this, to get some kind of a solution, to get our country back from us. You know, and I point back to the people like this Bellevue Baptist Church. They know, Bellevue Baptist Church, they know damn good and well that this country is going to hell. It's already in hell. If we, the white people that band together,
they're driving the cart, Eddie. Baptist is driving the cart. The Judeo-Christian church is doing the work. I don't care what anybody says. And we have talked about this and on this show before, Eddie, you and I. And I'm going to tell you, the Bellevue Baptist Church with their 7,000 seat auditorium and their 377 acre campus, they're doing the work of their father, the devil. They have prescribed to the Schofield gospel. They have been indoctrinated in their institutions of higher learning, and the theologians that have infiltrated the Southern Baptist Conference are nothing more than cucks for the Jewish lobby. And they are doing the work. And you know what they get in favor, Eddie? They get just what Jesus Christ's betrayer, Judas Iscariot, they get some silver, Eddie, that jingles in their pocket. And I want them to enjoy it. I want them to enjoy it now. I want them to drive the finest cars and wear the finest suits of clothes, because that will be burned to cinders in judgment for what they have done. Because a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a man of God, a so-called man of God, will get a stricter judgment in the end, because they are the ones who have led the sheep to slaughter. And I say, and I don't want to commandeer what you're saying about Bellevue.
No, keep going. You're on fire, brother. Keep going. Keep going.
They can be damned, and they can be damned on this earth and in the next one, as far as I'm concerned. And like I said, I want them to enjoy, because this is it for them. They will seek for Jesus to pass them over, but they will not be passed over. Their judgment is coming, and they're going to have to answer for what they did here in Jesus' name. And I'm going to remind people, you know, it is clear in Scripture that we are told that Jesus, he talked about those that were neither hot nor cold. Well, let's stop and think about this, folks. You know, hot nor cold, I'm not talking about a Hell's Angel riding a Harley Davidson. We know that dude's cold. That's certainly not a guy that's walking for Christ. And then there are those that are lukewarm, that Jesus said, I never knew you. I spit you out of my mouth. Some translations say I vomit you out of my mouth. Well, who are those that are lukewarm that Jesus would vomit out of his mouth? Those are your churchgoers. Those are your pew riders. Those are the ones that are on Sunday morning that got a Starbucks downstairs and a smoke machine up on stage.
Yes, they do.
Giving you They are giving you multimedia presentations like you're going to a doggone, I don't know, Broadway show or something, Eddie. Those are the ones that have made a mockery of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And those are the ones that Jesus said, you called my name. You said you were of mine, but I never knew you. Depart from me. I vomit you out of my mouth. Those are the ones that will not tell you the true gospel that's in Acts 2:38, that you repent of your sins. You be baptized for the gift of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't get preached, Eddie. John 8:44 doesn't get preached.
No.
Jesus clearly said, Jesus clearly said what he came for. Jesus said he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, folks, that's not the Jews. That they want you to believe that that's the Jews. That's not. It's us. We are the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Christians, the one that called themselves the followers of Christ. Jesus came for us. And he came to destroy the house of the Jews because
yes.
they were the ones that were interfering with us and God Almighty. He had
go to
destroy
break.
Them.
We've got to go to a quick break, Will. Be right back. Be right back, folks. You know, this is going to be a short break. Be right back.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I need to slow down. I've had a person said, I guess I'm really animated, but once again, I'm going to say, there's so much to cover, and we have such a little bit of time. I apologize if I'm talking too fast, where people can't hear me, I'm not legible. So I'll try to slow it down a little bit. So anyway, we're going to talk about church a little bit. And so we'll go back and tell us, that during the break, you tell me what Jesus Christ said was a church. But go ahead, Will. Tell us all about that, brother.
No, I just the conversation in the break was, you know, about church, and I made the comment to Eddie, and I'm speaking for Will here. I'm not speaking for Eddie. Eddie's his own man. But what I was saying to Eddie is, there generationally, we culturally have just been I'll say brainwashed into believing what church is, and you know, obviously. People think about the physical plan of the church, of brick walls and, you know, a steeple and a cross out front and a nice sign, something like that. And that's certainly a modern day definition of church. And, Jesus Christ himself told us what church was. He talked about it in Matthew 18:20. And that's a scripture that, you know, we may know when I start to say it, but we really delved into it. And what that is Jesus said, for where there are two or three gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. I'm there also. And that really was Jesus talking about what church is. And I was making the comment to Eddie of, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about religious services, of worship services? Because that's different than what church is. And I told Eddie, if you're looking at it and judging it through the scales of Matthew 18:20, what Eddie and I are doing right now is church. Because at the beginning of this program, we opened with a word of prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Throughout this program, this first hour, we've invoked the name of Jesus Christ. We asked Jesus to come before us to guide our way and our path through this program so that his people could be lifted up. Folks, we're having church right now, according to Jesus Christ. Now, we may not have an organ or pretty music or a fog machine or anything like that going on in what some people would consider to be church today, but what we're doing right now is very reminiscent of what the actual first church looked like. We're gathering together right now in your homes via radio and the internet, and folks, that's what Jesus's ministry looked like. That's what the Apostle Peter's ministry looked like. That's what Timothy's ministry looked like, and Matthew and Luke. This is what church was. What church has become is a very constructed and controlled product. And you have to ask yourself the question, who constructed it and who controlled it? And certainly our people, the Anglo-Saxon people that founded this country, we had a very different type of church in the first part of the founding of this nation than what has become today. And there was a very important part of church history that changed the church as we know it. And that was Scofield. And that was Scofield's Bible. And that was the changing of the seminaries all across this country. And all of a sudden, church became a business. And you can go back and chart this out for yourself. Don't listen to Will. I mean, I challenge you to go check it out yourself. Where it used to be the Bible only. It was sola fide, right? It was just the Bible. And then we started getting countless commentary after commentary after commentary, which is warned about in the Holy Scripture of man taking from and adding to these scriptures. We changed church into a business. We have seeker-friendly churches. We have the Jesus movement. We have church growth movement. We have all of these things, and no one really talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ in that movement. Why can't we get back to that? Because if we got back to that, we may have to read those red letters in the New Testament in Jesus' own words. They don't want you doing that, people. They want you reading their commentaries. They want you reading their devotion. They want you reading what they want you to read, because if you read the words of Jesus Christ, you may learn the truth. And the truth is a very dangerous thing. So when we talk about church, are we talking about church as far as the production of church? Or are we talking about church the way Jesus had church, where he called people to judgment, where he called people to repentance, where he told the truth to the point of he got himself murdered for us, that he was unwilling to go along to get along? Jesus Christ called a spade, there's no other ways to say it. He called a Jew a Jew. He called them what they were, the father of their father, the devil. They were doing the work of Satan here on this earth. To the point, Jesus, was willing to go before the Bellevue Baptists of the day and call them out for what they were, to the point of where those people that the institutions of power had picked, said, we can't have this anymore. And they murdered him. They murdered him thinking that it would stop it. And it didn't stop it, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, resurrected. And Eddie, they even tried to lie about that. They tried to pay off the Roman centurion to say that someone came and stole his body. Just like Scripture says, they're of their father, who is the father of lies. He's been a liar since the beginning of time. They tried to lie about Jesus Christ's resurrection. Jesus came back as far as the Holy Spirit and in body to instruct our people of what we should be doing. doing. And I'll be damned, Eddie, if I'm going to go along with this Schofield theologian, Judeo-Christian church nonsense. It's nonsense, people. Our great-grandfathers, like Eddie was talking about his people, our great-grandfathers, the founding stock of this country, we were blessed not because of the Jews, of supporting the Jews. We were blessed because we followed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We settled here in this New Jerusalem as far as followers of Christ. We built this country based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were blessed for it. And in 1948, we slit our wrist and wrote in blood our new covenant, and it wasn't a covenant of Jesus Christ. It was a covenant of those damned Jews. And since 1948, what have we reaped, Eddie? We have reaped abortion, homosexuality, pornography, divorce, a failing economy, joblessness, homelessness, disease after disease, pestilence after pestilence, war after war. Now, you tell me, Eddie, when we start talking about going to church in the Judeo-Christian church, which would you rather have, the stuff we have today or the religion of our fathers, Eddie? It seems like we were much better off then.
I'd rather have the religion of our fathers, no doubt about it. I was going to read Philippians 3, 1 through 10, but we don't have time, but I'm just going to make this quick quote right here. The King James Version, and I don't really have the scripture for this, but I'm just kind of going by what I remember. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. I'm telling you flat out, no church, I will never darken the door of a church that will favor a damn Jew and favor that little sandbox Israel over our my brothers, sailors, and Marines that were slaughtered for Israel. I consider that place a whorehouse, a worthless whorehouse. It wouldn't be worth, you know what? I wouldn't want to slaughter hogs there for in that place for, I might get to pollute the damn meat. But what we got left here, we only got a few seconds, a short time. I would like to say, where were they going to go? What were we going to go? Oh, I like to mention the ICE facilities right here. We have a few minutes about this, Will. Skip changing gears a little bit. About these organized, choreographed attacks, well-organized, well-equipped attacks, paramilitary, you might say, on the ICE facilities here in the United States. We've had other people on the show that said, I think I see a civil war coming. They said, oh, no, no, no. But listen, when you have as many people in the United States that will not abide by an election, will not abide by our laws that have been inscribed in our society, if they will not obey law, and they're even, listen, they're even, I think it's a person running for some kind of house in North Carolina. I've read this, but I can't remember it. But they're even calling for the killing of people. They call them Nazis, people that vote like you and I. They said it even killed their children because the children are like, or they're raising, the parents are raising little Nazis. And they're saying that and getting by with it. But I'm telling you what, people, you better gird your loins and get you some, the four B's, bean, band-aids, bullets, and boots, and get ready, because if these people are not going to lie down and take a government imposed by people like me and Will and by the people listening to this show right here, it's going to get bad. I can't see it ever getting any better. Will told me off the air yesterday, he thinks this country's gone. I think if you look in the Bible, going back to the Bible, God has never worked through the majority. There is no glory in God using the majority to defeat a minority. There's no glory in God using a genius to defeat a simpleton or a strong man to defeat a weak man. It's vice versa. If enough people would get together and enough Christian, God-fearing men get together and decide they want to take this country back, and you do it, and you ask God to help you and give all the glory to God. That's not an intellectual way of speaking like that, but I think it can be done. And I see we're running completely out of time, Will. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. I think you did a wonderful job. And if you will, I'll tell you what, keep in touch with me. I'll keep in touch with you. I'll talk to you during the break. Dear people, thank you so much for coming on. Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for keeping us on the air. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening to this program. Be right back, folks. This is going to be a long break.